Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, May the 29th, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 Live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, President Robert Mugabe castigates the distribution of food along political lines at his Million Men March.
But for now, the people require food. They require homes. Have we enough food for them to last until the next season of agriculture? Are we distributing the food fairly? Everyone must eat regardless of their politics or religion. We must serve everyone in the country.
But political analysts and opposition party members dismissed the call, saying that this could have been politicking on the president's part.
What the president said at the rally is what was befitting for the occasion. But when it comes to the practical implementation of what he said, I foresee the same old approach of opposition supporters being denied food.
The Women's Health Alliance International calls on women seeking corrective obstetric fistula surgeries to register for a free clinic in August.
My name is Priscilla Mabande. I'm the National Program Coordinator for the Free Obstetric Fistula Surgeries campaign in Zimbabwe. Our organization, together with local partners, assists women who are suffering from obstetric fistula. Obstetric fistula occurs in two forms: vesicovaginal, known as the VVF, or rectovaginal, known as the RVF. And in either case, the woman becomes incontinent of urine or feces.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tsatenda Gumbo. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. President Robert Mugabe has castigated the distribution of food along party lines, saying in future, all Zimbabweans will receive food aid when available, despite their political affiliation. Opposition party members have been in the past complaining of being denied food by ZANU-PF distributors in rural areas. President Mugabe said this while addressing his members at the Million Men March in Harare.
But for now, the people require food. They require homes. Have we enough food for them to last until the next season of agriculture? Are we distributing the food fairly? Everyone must eat regardless of their politics or religion. We must serve everyone in the country. Atingade kuti ndichiti nokuti ava vari kumusangano we opposition saka tovanyima kudya.
But political analysts and the opposition dismissed the call, saying this could have been politicking on the president's part and may not be implemented by his ZANU-PF members, who have been accused of denying opposition party members food. Political analyst Ricky Mukonza of Tshwane University in South Africa tells the Studio 7's Jonga Kantemiri his perspective on the issue.
My take is that there's not going to be any change. We have known ZANU-PF and its leaders to have mastered the art of indicating left and turning right. What the president said at the rally is what was befitting for the occasion. But when it comes to the practical implementation of what he said, I foresee the same old approach of opposition supporters being denied food. Because remember, it is the president who has said it. And when people will be denied food, it will be happening at a very low level where the president will not be. And I don't see any change taking place because the president had simply said what he said at the rally.
But can not these opposition members take the ZANU-PF members who will be distributing food to court or to the police to report them to the police because of defying what the president said.
I don't see that happening because, remember, our police has a history of being partisan, and they listen to ZANU-PF leaders who are in the provinces and the district. Those are the people who will be giving instructions, and the police simply listen to those people. They will not be influenced by a statement that was said at a rally somewhere in Harare. So I don't see anything really changing in terms of how the food distribution will be done, as long as ZANU-PF is in charge of the processes. Probably what I would suggest could show some seriousness is if ZANU-PF is prepared to move the distribution of food from its hands to civil society organizations that are really nonpartisan, that could probably help. As long as we have a political party doing the distribution of food, you can't expect fairness.
That was political analyst Ricky Mukonza of Tshwane University in South Africa speaking with Jonga Kandemiri. The Center for Natural Resource Governance says it has launched a program under which it will help rural communities to learn about their rights and how to access justice from mining communities that have taken over some of their land with no recourse. Farai Maguhu, director of the center, speaks to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri on the issue.
CNRG, Center for Natural Resource Governance, is carrying out what is called a biocultural community protocol. This is a program whereby communities come together. They do a historical analysis of their community. They also map the resources within their community. And they are also capacitated in terms of understanding their environmental, economic, and cultural rights. After capacitating the communities, we also intend to bring lawyers to the villages to teach the community about their rights and access to justice. So we expect that after this first round of community meetings, we are going to select some cases where we are going to help the communities to sue mining companies for violation of different rights of communities.
Mr. Magu, we understand that the land and the natural resources, they belong to the state. How are the villagers expected to voice over these if they belong to the state?
One other thing that we are trying to do is also to challenge the constitutionality of the Communal Lands Act and the Mines and Minerals Act. These laws are in violation of the Constitution of Zimbabwe in that they vest the land, communal land, in the president, they vest the minerals in the president, which means communities do not own the land on which they live and the minerals beneath them. But there are two ways that we want to tackle this problem. First, it is to raise awareness at community level so that communities know the risk that they face because of this Communal Lands Act, that in the event that minerals are discovered in their area, they will be victimized, as we saw in Marange, where communities were displaced without compensation. The second thing, of course, is to challenge the constitutionality of these draconian and outdated colonial legislations, which favor the mining corporations at the expense of the communities. So we are going to do advocacy, but we're also going to challenge these laws so that they are aligned with the Constitution of Zimbabwe of 2013.
Are you working with the state and these mining companies?
The first thing we are doing, our first step, is to build the capacity of the communities so that they can sit on the table and negotiate from a position of strength with both the government and the mining companies. At the moment, there is an asymmetrical power balance where communities are powerless. And mining companies and the government, they sing from the same hymn book. They support each other. Once the community is capacitated, then we are going to try and create platforms where the community and the government, through, say, rural district councils, the Ministry of Mines, the Ministry of Gender, you know, there are a lot of women issues in the mining sector. They need now to come face to face. But at the moment, we fear that if we create this platform, there is a lot of intimidation that has happened in the past where communities are scared to say things as they are when they are government officials. So capacity building is what we are aiming at right now. Then after that, we create these platforms.
That was the Center for Natural Resource Governance Director Farai Maguhu speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kanzemiri. The Women's Health Alliance International says it has now trained local doctors to perform obstetric fistula operations and will be conducting free clinics in August. It is asking those affected to contact them. The organization assisted 60 women in the last 2 months. An obstetric fistula is a hole between the vagina and rectum or bladder that is caused by prolonged obstructed labor, leaving a woman incontinent of urine or feces or both. Women affected are urged to contact the Women's Health Alliance and not to be ashamed, as they can be assisted to live a normal life.
My name is Priscilla Mabande. I'm the National Program Coordinator for the Free Obstetric Fistula Surgeries campaign in Zimbabwe. Our organization, together with local partners, assists women who are suffering from obstetric fistula. Obstetric fistula occurs in two forms: vesicovaginal, known as the VVF, or rectovaginal, known as the RVF. And in either case, the woman becomes incontinent of urine or feces. The women are usually affected as a result of either child marriages, young girls with underdeveloped bodies, married off, and carrying pregnancies to full term. It can also result from prolonged labor, whereby a woman feels the labor pains and at the onset fails to seek adequate medical or health care, as well as obstructed labor, whereby complications arise during the onset of labor and the cost and duration of labor. Our organization helps the women of Zimbabwe with free repair surgeries, including transport money and covering their medical fees for them to be repaired off the obstetric fistula as part of the drive to end the occurrence and the presence of obstetric fistula in Zimbabwe.
For those that would like to get assistance from your organization, where do they find you?
Our organization has a hotline number to which you can send a message, give us a missed call or WhatsApp on 0782-640-840. I'll repeat the number. You can refer a patient, or if you are a patient, please send us a WhatsApp and message or a missed call on 0782-640-840. We will get back to you and give you a surgery date as and when the opportunity arises. But our mandate and our aim is to end and eradicate obstetric fistulas in Zimbabwe.
When is your next clinic that women can look forward to, those that may be affected by obstetric fistula?
Our next clinic is targeted for August 2016. Already in April and May, we have helped 60 women with free repair surgeries. And we also, in the meantime, have managed to train 8 local doctors. So if a woman comes forward to us and mentions which province she's from, as well as the area, we're still able to get her to be assisted by the local doctors who have been trained in the repair of obstetric fistulas.
That was Women's Health Alliance International National Coordinator Priscilla Mabande in Harare. People who wish to contact her can call this number, 0782-640-840. That number again, 0782-640-840. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tsatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by Winston Coulthard, a Zimbabwean who joined in on the viral This Flag movement, started by Pastor Evan Mawarire, posting his own videos. Winston, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, Tatenda. So good to be here.
Now, the first question I have, you know, to a lot of you guys who've kind of, you know, put yourself in this viral movement, what resonated with you and made you want to, you know, sit there and record something and give your view on this flag?
I think a lot of young Zimbabweans have just been incredibly disillusioned in the last few years. We've seen our economy plummeting. We've seen corruption skyrocketing, but there haven't really been any sources for hope. Any opposition political structures seem to be in complete disarray. There doesn't seem any possibility for democratic recourse, and so everyone's just there's just been a very depressed spirit, and past Mawarire's videos, there just came this renewed life, and all of a sudden it seemed like people started believing again that the Zimbabwe situation was not beyond redemption. So I think that's really, that's what ignited me, and I think that's what's igniting literally millions of other Zimbabweans, young and old.
Right, and you know, it has kind of snowballed. You know, each day it gets bigger and bigger. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I was absolutely blown away by the response. I posted my video. I didn't put any editorial work into it. You know, it took me about 20 minutes to make because I took a few retakes. And you know, to be honest, when I saw that it got 1,000 views, I was amazed. I was so chuffed. I was bouncing up and down. And I just didn't expect it to catch on in the way that it did. And I was very, very surprised by how the message of this movement has resonated with so many people.
And I know, talking about, you know, of course, what now becomes the main thing is politics. And I know in one of your videos, you made a point to say this is really not about politics. It's just more about Zimbabweans being able to speak out about the issues that they're seeing, what they want to be fixed. But what happens in Zimbabwean context is that the minute you speak up, you know, you're kind of put on a side.
Yeah, look, it's something that, you know, that is... I think as people getting involved in the campaign, we have to be very aware about it. And it's something that those opposed to the campaign always look to utilize as a distraction. Oh, this is just a political movement. These are just people, you know, solely seeking political ends. But while this could take a political direction, what it is now is it's simply a Zimbabwean speaking about how they are unhappy with the government. And in that regard, it doesn't have anything to do with politics. I believe, you know, people who are members of the ruling party, ZANU-PF, can feel just as disenfranchised, just as excluded from that tiny minority who are benefiting from the Zimbabwean situation at the moment. They can feel just as separate from that whole grouping of people as a member of the opposition.
And just to end it here, Winston, what, you know, in the long run do you want to see? What will make you feel as an individual and also someone who has, as you called it, the bandwagon, jumped on this bandwagon, make you feel that the government or, you know, those responsible are responding positively to this movement? How will you gauge that?
The one thing that I think every person who is rallying behind this flag wants to see is just to see them recognize the wrongs, the problems that we mention. That's the first step, and it's a step that we have not seen so far. They've been trying to attack the character of Pastor Mawarire. They've been bringing up all these bogus distractions, like they're being funded by the West, and it's a money spinning venture, and all these different things, but they are consciously not engaging with the issues. Or they talk about the issues, but they come out and outright deny the issues. And so I think what we want, a vital first step, is for them to say, look, we recognize what you're saying is legitimate. These problems do exist. And then from there, we believe that they can actually take the relevant steps necessary to effecting meaningful change.
And with that, I want to say thank you so very much for talking to me today.
Thanks very much, Atenda.
That was Winston Coltar, a Zimbabwean living here in the United States, joining me today on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and as usual, make sure you join me next time.
Now to recap on today's top stories, President Robert Mugabe castigates the distribution of food along political lines at his Million Men March. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, May the 29th, 2016. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.